Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties, so and people know this.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope your sports weekend was great. Came in this morning bright and early to a letter. You don't often get handwritten letters.
It's a very rare thing for us.
It's not handwritten, I guess. It's typed out, but a letter.
Yeah, that has corrections on it. Like, he typed out the letter and then made some grammatical changes with the pen.
And then there's, like, two random coin pictures, like nickels and pennies or something on it. But they enjoyed our puppet Vulcan stuff, and yeah, That's all I cared about.
Hey, so if you want to write us a handwritten letter, we're down for it. Anytime you want, send it our way.
It's, you know, it's interesting getting letters in 2025. It throws you off a little bit. You're like, whoa, stamp.
It's like paying your mortgage with a check, man, doing it the old school way, you know? Some people still believe in values around here.
Dirt just stopped paying his mortgage with a check like 2 years ago.
Some people have standards, man.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. I want to remind you, I'm looking for it now. I actually don't know where it is, so this would have been great to...
You want me to remind you? I can remind you.
Well, you need a calendar reminder, of course.
Well, I mean, on June 24th, that's probably what you're talking about.
Wait, your local... know about this?
I do. I've heard about this from time to time, that your local Toyota dealers are presenting the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms Golf Club, again, on Tuesday, June 24th. It's also brought to you by Henderson Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. You're going to have a morning and an afternoon round. Nobody's told us if the afternoon round sold out. I'm just going to assume it is, but
it's still there.
We got one left. There. So you can do either or. Matt's Barbecue, Victor Rico's, giving you your food to power you through your 18 holes golf.
I need a breakfast burrito right now.
Dude, go over to 1080thefan.com. So you click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for the details and the link. You purchase your foursome. Boom goes a dynamite. We'll see you on June 24th.
I've met the fine folks at Victor Rico's
a couple times.
They're there every year.
They're there every year.
Hanging out at the tournament.
And I don't know how many officially are in the group that we are hanging with as a business. I'm going to say four. And I'll tell you right now, as a show with three humans on it and two hosts.
Yes.
I would totally open up our sports show, much like the Timbers do the rivalry. More the merrier. If they wanted to come in and get weird and bring breakfast burritos in, I would be all for it.
I'd be down for that.
I'm so hungry right now.
You would bring me a breakfast burrito every day. I will
eat
that thing.
Hash browns.
I will eat that thing.
Sausage. Chorizo.
Breakfast burrito might be on my Mount Rushmore of food items.
Their breakfast burrito will last you.
Like breakfast burritos, a well done breakfast burrito.
Oh, yeah.
And Victor Rico's has some damn good ones.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat that for me.
No, you cannot.
Simple. It's easy. Doesn't get messy. You got it in your, you know, two
Why
hands at all times.
This? Why did I bring it?
Put a little hot sauce on each bite. I'm a verde sauce guy.
The green one's
you
the
go
best.
Verde sauce per bite, a little bit of dabble, boom, you take your bite. Yep. It's delightful.
It is unbeatable, my man. Speaking of unbeatable, the Thunder in Game 7, unbeatable.
They were unbeatable yesterday.
Because they got back to playing defense.
Well, and Aaron Gordon got hurt. That helped a little bit.
I mean, that was...
he was a statue.
That was huge.
That was huge.
Well, so, okay, you guys help me with this. When I woke up, we had multiple games yesterday, so I had to leave. I was out of commission. Making breakfast before I left, I was checking. Shams is on my television. Aaron Gordon, sidelined for several weeks with a hamstring 2-grade strain.
That was my read on it as well.
There was, I did
he
not
He was not
see,
playing according to that report. And then
it
I,
was like an hour beforehand that I first
that he was
gonna
saw give it a go.
That he said he was going to try to play.
Look, Shams Charania does a lot of hard work. Okay, it's not easy to be that guy, the newsbreaker who never gets a minute. Should be suspended 2 days for that. You cannot go on national television and social media and announce to the world the dude's out, he's got a hamstring strain, and then an hour before tip, they find out that he's playing. That cannot happen. That should not be allowed.
Well, I believe the injury report was accurate. Had that been the regular season.
He was reporting several weeks.
He was. That was
the
report. I was pretty surprised because I wasn't on social media a ton yesterday morning. I did see the
you
original.
You could clearly see he was... should not have been out there.
He could not move very well.
They were minus 26 and a half when he's not on the court.
No, I understand.
They needed him.
They desperately. He was huge for them in the entire series. I was shocked, though, because I wasn't on social media, and I turned the game on, and I'm like, wait a minute. What?
Well, it's a bummer. He's out there. It's a bummer of a game 7. It started out okay. It was like, oh, OKC is
down 11.
Yeah,
you could tell Thunder were a little too amped up. They were missing left and right.
See, I don't think they were amped up. Pucker factor was at a million, I think. When you looked at
Chet. Pressure, dude. It's game 7, man.
Jalen Williams at home. Like, he had a bad game 6. You were only getting it from Caruso. SGA was good. SGA had a rough start to the playoffs in the first round. Didn't play well. They won. Didn't have the first couple games amazing. He finished that series, I thought, really well.
Yeah,
like, looked like an MVP player.
Yeah.
And he had a good outing. They just completely suffocated the Nuggets at the end of the second. And so they have punched their ticket. And I don't know where everybody sits in sports. I don't want to hear from football fan today who doesn't watch basketball. I'm talking to our sports psychos that like multiple sports. Your conference finals are set. The Knicks blew out the Celtics in game 6 at home.
They did.
Never a doubt. Anytime Timothée Chalamet is at a game, I'm betting the Knicks at home in the Garden.
You just like the feeling there?
He's the chosen one, dude.
He's making out with Kylie Jenner.
I mean, he wasn't even with her. She's in, you know, Turks and Caicos. He's out there courtside with his bros getting yanked out of cars by Knicks fans. We've got a Pacers-Knicks conference finals, so we're back into the 90s, and I love it.
I love that.
And then in the West...
we got Ant-SGA.
We got Ant-Man against SGA in the Thunder, and I'm just... it's going to be the 7th straight year of a new champion. I do think it's a valid, as stupid as it might sound, a valid question of, is this good for the league? Or do we need the dynasties in our lives? But the conference finals are set. Knicks, Pacers, Wolves, Thunder.
I mean, from a rating standpoint, it's not great for the league.
Why?
Because...
you've got New York.
Oh, I mean, look.
You've got maybe face of the league, Ant. You've got MVP and SGA. And you've got the Pacers, who people tend to hate because Halliburton's a weirdo.
This is you living in your basketball bubble. The basketball fans will love it because there's great storylines around.
Why don't sports fans love it?
Non-basketball fans don't give a rip about Oklahoma City and didn't watch them all
year. Other than the Knicks, there's no familiarity.
It's just, outside of New York, they are the only team that
matters
in terms of
winning a title. And that's the NBA's fault for...
No, hold on. So you're telling me...
I love it from a from a small market fan angle and from somebody who desperately hopes to at one point in his life see his basketball team have a chance to win a championship.
Oh, I'll get to that.
This is the best thing that's happened to the NBA in forever. Mm-hmm. My entire life. It's the best thing that's ever happened. We are now seven straight years in. It's not just seven straight years of a different champion. I want to say we're on like a 4 or 5 year run where the defending champ didn't even get out of the second round of the playoffs the next year. And Boston continued that. You had Denver 2 years ago blowing the game seven. Like, we're on a great run where it's not even like, hey, they're getting to the finals every year and losing. They're not even making it back to the conference finals in a lot of these years. The parity has never been better, and it was the biggest thing that Adam Silver tried to do. He screwed a lot of stuff up, but allowing there to be some balance and parity in the NBA has clearly been his biggest accomplishment as commissioner. Mm-hmm. I love it as a small market NBA fan, but you asking why does it not reach the general like that's a very basketball bubble thought process. It should. There's compelling arguments all around. I'm not saying SGA shouldn't. Anthony Edwards was in the Olympics and he was in the Netflix documentaries. He was in the conference finals last year. It's New York. I think when you're dealing with a sport like this, baseball's the same way. I could sell you on smaller markets as somebody who follows it closely, but Yankees and Dodgers is always going to mean more. It's always going to be more significant when the Cubs are in, and that's the way the NBA largely has been in the last 20
years. Well, I'm not suggesting that you don't have certain teams that will always mean a little more. Like if it's Lakers, Knicks, or Lakers, Celtics, of course, that's going to be the best possible scenario, I guess, from an eyeball standpoint. I guess what I don't get is if you are a sports fan, this is, you're either a sports fan or you're not. There's really not, it's not me being in a bubble. I am in a bubble in a lot of ways. I will admit that. But from a sports fan angle, if you're not just psycho NFL college football guy or gal,
mm-hmm.
you're like, hey, I like baseball. I like having some off seasons of football and watching other stuff. I just disagree. I don't know what more you could possibly want. You've got major market New York. You've got small market Indiana that has surprised people by getting to their second straight conference finals. You've got what I think is the face of the league now in Anthony Edwards, who has ascended this year, and he will Michael Jordan trash talk to your face. But also on the other side, you've got the league MVP, tiny market OKC, which is a juggernaut. I just disagree. I think if it's not interesting, you're not really a sports fan. You're a football fan masquerading and lying to yourself about being a sports fan.
I think you're 100% spot on, but I think the NBA will suffer ratings-wise. Not that that matters. Enjoy the finals.
No, it doesn't make or break me
great.
Watching it.
I think I'm very excited about the conference finals and the matchups.
I think it's going to be a great conference finals, and maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the Pacers will take care of it. Maybe the Knicks will. Maybe the Thunder will steamroll the Wolves because they play with their food. I'll sign up for it all day, and if you want to talk about interesting, I mean, look, you can sell me on a Pacers-Thunders finals, but I will understand that your argument will be, and I get it. If you give me Anthony Edwards in Madison Square Garden for an NBA finals.
I mean, the NBA desperately wants the Knicks to win that series. The Knicks winning that series and getting to the NBA finals for the first time in, what, 25 years, 26 years, whatever it is now.
And I think they want Anthony Edwards on the other
side. And they would love Anthony Edwards on the other side. But I think the exciting thing about it is not just that it gives hope to smaller markets, but also every team has shown vulnerabilities. Every team has weaknesses.
I have no clue who's going to win any of this.
Oklahoma City was the unbeatable juggernaut, and they might go on to cruise to an NBA title for all we know. But they have looked less than stellar to this point. They had a cakewalk in round one because they should as a one seed. Mm-hmm. In round two, they played a Denver team who didn't have a coach and a GM at the end of the regular season and no Aaron Gordon healthy in game seven.
Yeah.
And they still pushed them all the way to the brink. So I think the compelling nature of I'm at this point and I genuinely don't know who's going to win a championship, that's not something that usually exists in the NBA, and I'm very excited for that.
And I guess that's kind of my thing is you talk about hope. Hope was my selling point or thought process watching that game seven. Even when it was a blowout, I'm like thinking about all of this because when was the last time, and maybe you just say last year, this is the last conference finals I legitimately looked at you and said, can you confidently tell me who you think wins?
It's been a while since I've been able to do that.
And
there's been teams where you're like, I'm not sure, but they're clearly the favorite, or I like their, you know.
Like Oklahoma City's the favorite of all, but
yes.
They're minus 365, by the way, to win that series against Minnesota, which is...
I have to bet on Minnesota for value
that is
purposes.
A lot.
That for value purposes, I have to bet on Minnesota.
But I don't think I'd point at any of the four teams and say they're going to win the finals, and you go, no, that's no way.
No chance.
I think you'd go, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I just, you know, somebody said you might just not plan your evening around it like you would watching Lakers and Celtics. I think that fan is out there. I think that fan is out there where there's just, this golf is this way, right? Like, I could sell you on different guys in the golf world having a chance to win the PGA, but if I give you Scotty versus Rory down the stretch, it's just going to mean a little bit more, and you're going to generate more eyeballs and more attention.
That's tough. I think golf is a tough one, but if you told me it was like Xander, DeChambeau, and a Rory, I'm just as interested.
Sure. What about an Oberg winning his first major championship? Does that mean as much?
I don't think these are Obergs. That golf is a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's a tough comparison. I get it.
And I totally understand that sports fan's view. I just, again, like, if you need Celtics, Lakers to get you to be appointment television,
you're not a diehard fan of the league.
Well, I don't know if you're really a fan of the league in general. This is, it's compelling stuff. And hope was the selling point I took away from yesterday's Game 7. I'll tell you what I mean by that next on The Fan.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, Gary Parrish will join us, CBSSports.com for the Daily Ticker coming up. We'll get to the Brock Purdy contract that fell in our lap on Friday. 5 years, $265 million.
Woo!
$181 million guaranteed.
You got paid.
And reportedly, no trade clause. He'll get Bradley Beal trade clause. Like, do you want to go? No. Okay, all right, well, that conversation's over.
I feel like staying here.
And so a grade the trade poll question is up. And I find it all fascinating, people's takeaways on this stuff.
Overpaid or underpaid or fairly paid.
He didn't reset the market, that's for certain.
No, he did not.
He did make a lot of money for himself.
I think seventh in annual value is what it ended up ranking.
He's tied with Goff per year.
Okay.
So does Jared Goff make you feel any different than Brock Purdy makes you feel? If no, then like we'll get to it. Hold it. Could I watch a Game 7 blowout between Oklahoma City and Denver and have takeaways of our Portland Trailblazers? You bet your bottom dollar I can.
I can't wait to hear where this is going.
Damn right I can.
How was this hopeful for us?
How many straight years is the NBA going to have a different NBA champion?
I don't know. We're going on seven.
We're going on seven.
How many will we make it? I don't know.
You just simply pointed out the fact of teams winning titles not even getting back to conference championships anymore the way they used to in the NBA. And the modern day dynasty, I think with the Celtics injury of Tatum, I think the Jokic Nuggets, by the way, is we leading the television programs with 20 points and 7 assists and only 9 shots? Because if LeBron did that, it would be a week's worth of conversation. But I digress. Let him drink beer. With Nuggets not getting back and the Bucks being at this brink of maybe trade, I think my takeaway is this. I can't sell you that next year Portland's taking some leap like the Rockets or they're in some convert. They're not. They're not at all. But I think the hopeful side of it, not blazer glasses, I think just sheer honesty is this is a 2 to 3 year league now. This isn't a 10-year dynasty. They're having conversations in Boston of whether they should trade Derek White or Jaylen Brown because they're way into the tax. Their new owner doesn't want to pay all this money. Tatum won't play next year. And oh my God, Jaylen Brown could be wearing a different jersey next year.
A year after winning a title.
Giannis Antetokounmpo could be in a different uniform, right? Luka Doncic is in a different uniform. Austin Reeves could be moved. There are moves all over the league that are sitting there because of the second apron tax stuff. Mm-hmm. Teams can't comfortably sit with rosters. It's why in retrospect, in listening to Windhorse Pod after doing Friday's show, they were talking about the Thunder, or no, Zach Lowe's. And he was like, how much is on the table for Chet and Jalen Williams if they lose game 7? And the Thunder guy's like, I honestly don't think it is at all. Because they're not going to overreact to 2 straight years of losing. These guys are in their young 20s, and their contracts are pretty team friendly.
They're still the youngest team in the NBA.
And so I think you got to have more perspective, at least it did for me yesterday watching, of like, you know, I don't know what the future holds for Cronin and what the new ownership group would be like. But if I was to be a little more positive, I would say nothing in that conference or this league is going to last longer than 4 years right now.
No.
So unless the league drastically changes stuff with their tax, you can certainly name 7 to 8 to 9 teams, Dirt, that I think are in clearly better positions than us in Portland. But you can also identify those teams and say, is Memphis going to be around with that nucleus? And then one thing, what's that future look like? I could point to the Lakers. What are they going to be without LeBron? Like, I know they got Luka. That's great. I'd love to have Luka. Oklahoma City's not going anywhere. How's Denver going to keep reshaping this with Jokic? Is that going to go well, or is that going to turn into Giannis?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can point to all of those teams, seemingly not OKC and maybe Minnesota, and say, it's a 2 or 3 year league. So, like, as bad as you may feel about the Blazers, you don't need to sit in it for a decade and say, well, it's impossible for us to take some leap and other teams to absolutely step in it because of tax purposes and say, gonna have to gut this thing a little bit and restart with our one superstar.
Yeah, there is definitely an encouraging trend. And we talked about this last week with Indiana going to the conference finals. And I said that it's one of the best things that's happened to the NBA in a long time. Like Indiana being a small market team, I don't view them as a team with a quote-unquote, you know, first-team All-NBA caliber guy. But I also want to be respectful to how talented their roster is and the differences. Like, they have 2 bona fide All-Stars on their team. Haliburton and Pascal Siakam are both All-Stars. Not every year, but they can be and have been before. And having a team like that make it to back-to-back conference finals is very, very encouraging. And I think it gets you to a point as a fan in the NBA where you do allow yourself to believe a little bit, because there's been large stretches of my adult life. One of the reasons I'm so pessimistic as a Blazer fan, where it seems hopeless. And I went back and forth with a listener on this last week when I was ranting and raving about the Blazers and how there's just fans who don't really care. They just want to be entertained on a Tuesday night. And one of the listeners said, that's me. I've given up hope that they're ever going to win a championship. It's entertainment. I want to go watch some dunks. Hey, look at that. The lights come down. Let's do starting lineups. I have fun on a Tuesday. I go home and I go about my business. And I said, I appreciate the honesty in that take. All I'm asking for is just relevant basketball more than once every 25 years. That's all I'm asking. I'm not saying championship or bust. I just want to have a little bit of hope and a little bit of fun come May, every other year or every handful of years, however often it might be. And seeing the trend of the NBA right now, it does leave you optimistic that maybe someday you can get there. Now, I don't think Portland's close to it. Like, you want to use Indiana as the example. They got two All-Stars on their team. Who the hell are our All-Stars? Where are you going to find them? Do we have one yet? Will one turn into an All-Star? So you're still a long ways to go. But I do think having teams that are small market teams and not dominated by three or four star super teams win titles every year is a great revelation for the NBA.
Yeah, I just Indiana's like pie in the sky, I think, example. It would be more it'd be like a mixed bag of, did you make logical moves? Like somebody just tweeted us, this is why you extend Sharp now, you get them on a cheaper deal. And I'd kind of curious to see if that is in play for them. I don't know how to gauge what they're doing for the next year and a half to 2 years with this sale, like how they operate versus what's incoming for the franchise. But what I would say is, like, if you make logical moves, that's not going all eggs in one basket type stuff, and you're just feisty and you keep being that kind of team, how much worse do some of these other Western Conference teams get by shooting themselves in the foot? And, like, I know that I totally see it. I understand the smirk, the chuckle of, like, oh, like you need, like, six teams to really choke the situation down. But, yeah, that also could happen. It's not impossible, and that's the way the league is operating right now, where the most surest of things are no longer sure.
Yeah.
We thought the Nuggets were a dynasty building. They've won one title, and they can't get back.
Yeah, Boston was the same way.
Milwaukee was the same way. I mean, yeah. We have rattled off now a handful of champions just recently where we thought, here it comes. Here's the big Jokic wave. One ring. Oh, here it is. Giannis in the butt. One ring. And those are great. I'd love one ring.
Yeah, take it in Harvey.
But it's not going the length that we're customarily used to in that league anymore,
mm-hmm.
where it's a decade. Yeah. It's 6 years. It's 7 years. It's like, maybe you get three, and then you just hope you can build it on. The Warriors are doing this. They're not going to win a title. They just want Steph Curry to be in the playoffs so they can make money.
Just be in the mix, man.
And say they're in the mix, yeah. But they're not really in the mix.
Yeah. I mean, they might have won that series if he stayed healthy, because I wasn't impressed with Minnesota.
Didn't. But they didn't.
And he got banged up. Let's start with an All-Star. Can we start there?
We'll get to the Brock Purdy stuff, his big contract extension that he signed with the 49ers. We'll get to that. But Gary Parrish joins us, CBSSports.com. He was at the Combine. We'll talk NBA draft stuff and the NBA playoffs. Gary Parrish next on The Fan.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo, or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Monday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries and available now at a store near you. Let's talk some NBA draft with friend of the program, Gary Parrish, joining us from CBS Sports. He's also on in Memphis, Grind City Media, at Gary Parrish. CBS is where you can follow him on Twitter. Gary, good morning to you. I do have a bone to pick with you right out of the gate today. Just right
off the start, man. Okay, pick it.
So
pick it. I'm here.
My co-host texts me, hey, Gary Parrish could be on the show tomorrow. I'm like, yes, dude, I love his work. Let's talk some college hoops. I don't follow it that closely. He does a lot closer than I do. I'm like, all right, he's coming on. Let's see what his last mock draft has Portland doing with the 11th overall pick. So I go to CBSSports.com, where you can find all your great work. I'm scrolling down. I see the Blazers drafting 11th, Jace Richardson. And I don't know if you're familiar with our history with 6'3" guards who are kind of combo tweener guys. We've drafted a lot of those guys over the last handful of years, Gary. Jace Richardson to Portland in your last mock. Why should I not be pessimistic about that?
Well, past injury stuff and issue stuff is never an excellent predictor of the future, but I can understand why you can deal with PTSD. As someone who lives here in Memphis, you know, we once passed on Steph Curry to take Hasheem Thabeet with the number 2 overall pick in a draft. So anytime a traditional center who's considered a defensive presence is in the Grizzlies' range, there is somebody who always brings that up and says, no, not again. So I hear where you're coming from. With Jace, I'm just a believer in him, period. And at that point in the draft, if he's still available, he is somebody I would have on the list of best prospects available. He's, a smaller combo guard. But once he was placed into the starting lineup at Michigan State, because he did not begin the season there, he was really tremendous. Over about a 15-game stretch, averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds per contest, obviously took them pretty deep into that bracket. He became their best player over time, and I don't know that they thought he was going to be that in the preseason. Just because his dad was a longtime veteran in the NBA guarantees nothing, but that is something I can tell you front offices do value. The children of professional athletes, not just NBA players, but was your mom a serious athlete? Was your dad a baseball player, a football player? Just growing up around professionals is something that there is some evidence that pays dividends for prospects. So you throw all that into a pot, mix it up, and I think you got a legitimate lottery option in Jace Richardson. And for a Portland franchise that has some interesting front court pieces, but still obviously needs a lot to get back into a place where you're contending for anything of significance. Mm-hmm. I do think you look for best prospect available, somebody who could develop into a difference maker. And at least in my mind, Jace Richardson is one of those guys.
Did anything surprise you coming out of the combine after all the workouts, all the interviews? What stuck out to Gary Parrish about the combine this year?
Well, I think one of the bigger headlines is that just Ace Bailey is not some 6'10" wing the way he's been described for more than a year now. Like, everybody talks about him like he's Kevin Durant. And he is an interesting prospect, and I understand why everybody has him in the top 5, myself included. But without shoes, he measured just a little better than 6'7". He is not a 6'10" wing. And I know that might not matter dramatically. It's not going to be the type of thing that sends him from being the third pick to the 13th. But just suddenly he's a little more average size than you would have thought. And when you consider that at the collegiate level, he did nothing but score, impacted the game in no other way, there starts to be some real question marks surrounding him. Not whether he'll go in the top 10 or the lottery, but you talk to front office people really throughout the season, but especially post-combine, and they will tell you that he's a pretty divisive prospect. Some people think he has a chance to be the best player from this draft, Cooper Flagg included, if he actually reaches his potential, like if his actual game film starts to line up more with his highlights, because the highlights are tremendous. There's just not a lot of them. They're not consistent. But there are people who believe in the upside of the potential. There are others who think he's, you know, an average-sized wing who does nothing but try to score and impacts the game in no other positive way, and you pass on people like that because you don't win with them. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I'm a little lower on him than some, but I'm still intrigued by the talent, even though, to circle back to the original point, he did not measure well at the combine.
Interesting. We're talking with Gary Parrish of CBS. You can check out all his great work, CBSSports.com, college basketball analyst. He's also on a Grind City Media in Memphis, at Gary Parrish, CBS on Twitter. As we're looking at that 11 spot, I mean, I joke with you about Jace Richardson, but I see all the arguments you're making. You don't want to make those same mistakes twice of, oh, we've made this mistake in the past, so let's not ever take a 6'3" guard again. Who are the other guys kind of in that range for you? You know, I know Carter Bryant's a name that's shown up a lot when we started to talk about draft stuff. You
Cedric
have him, Cedric Howard. I mean, Derek Queen's a name that's kind of in that mix. Who are the guys in that range that are realistic for Portland that do stand out to you? Is there like a pecking order of, man, if this guy's there at 11, that's the guy that you want to absolutely take a swing on? How do you feel about that portion of the draft?
So I'm glad you brought up Carter Bryant, because he's somebody and probably the main person I have changed my opinion on since the end of the college basketball season. Like, you know, I'm privy to all of the numbers. I have conversations with front offices. I know that he's been on their radar, even if he was just a role player at Arizona. But as you watch these playoffs unfold, the thing that becomes undeniable is that everybody needs, you know, switchable wings with size who can knock down a shot and make big plays on the defensive end of the court. Like the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. Sure, because Jalen Brunson is awesome, and because New York City has become a real advantage for them. Just the whole scene is something special. But having Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby and Josh Hart, like just gritty wings that can switch everything and make a shot and provide toughness and length and just difficult matchups, those guys are immensely valuable. They'll never be in the Hall of Fame, or at least they probably won't be in the Hall of Fame, but they can help you hang banners. And so Mikal Bridges is a great example of this. He's coming out of Villanova. He checks all of these boxes that we're talking about, but people are still debating, do you really use a top 10 pick on somebody who projects as never going to be a star? Probably best case scenario, he's a really good role player. Well, eventually he does, you know, get picked 10th in that draft, but it was 10th. It wasn't 4th. It wasn't 6th. And then you fast forward a few years later, and guess what the Knicks are willing to do? Quite literally give up 5 first-round picks for that guy, because he can do that thing. So I am not against taking projected role players, particularly 3-and-D wings, very high in the draft, because you win with those guys. And Carter Bryant, I can't promise you he's going to pan out. You know, every general manager in the NBA has missed on a guy like this.
Right.
But he checks the boxes. 6'8", he can make a shot. He is a plus defender, takes pride on that end of the court, still very young. Just if you were trying to identify somebody in that range who could develop into, fast forward 5 years, and you need a stop, and that's the guy that you took back in the 2025 NBA draft, and he's going to be the one who gets it for you, you'll never regret having that guy on your roster if he develops into that thing. And Carter Bryant's got a chance to do it.
Gary, it feels like we've maybe hit a little bit of a sweet spot here. It's been a while since this has happened, right? The high schoolers leave and NBA teams draft them, and then they can't stop themselves. The league steps in and says, we're doing a one-and-done rule. And for a long time, I would argue it kind of killed college basketball. These kids come in, they play, they're gone. We don't get to see them grow in college. They go straight to the NBA. It feels like NIL has maybe balanced this a little bit. Now, you're still going to get your Cooper Flags, your Ace Baileys, your Dylan Harpers, but I'm curious how many NBA people now maybe like that these kids are going back to college. They're making a ton of money to go back, $2, $3 million maybe a season, whatever it is, and they're a little more polished. How this has kind of balanced it out a little bit in the NIL world, where College Hoops is bringing back rosters or players we recognize, while also the NBA is getting maybe more experienced, more polished products in the draft.
I think it's great for everybody. And I know that people get a little turned off by the money and the transactional nature of what college sports has become in many ways. But it's good for college basketball to have great players in school. It's good for college basketball to have recognizable players in school. And for a while, let's just talk about Jalen Brunson for a second, since he came up earlier. You know, Jalen Brunson was not ready to go be a lottery pick when he left Villanova. He wasn't even going to be a first-round pick, probably. But there was just sort of an idea there of, I've won national championships. I've been the national player of the year. It's just time to get on with it, my professional career, whatever that looks like, as opposed to go back to college and play basketball again for a scholarship and a cost of attendance stipend. Well, if you fast-forward Jalen Brunson's career to present day, I am quite confident he would probably just go back to Villanova for another year, because they'd pay him $4 million and he would be worth more in college than he would have been as a rookie in the NBA. And that is what we're seeing all over the sport right now. Like you said, this will change nothing for a Cooper Flagg or a Dylan Harper or an Ace Bailey. You know, those guys are projected one and done top five picks coming out of high school. They live up to those expectations in their 1 years of college, and now they'll be drafted accordingly. They have to go. There's too much money involved, and there's also too much future stuff involved, where those are the type of prospects that they want to get to that second contract as soon as possible, because that's where you get the generational wealth. But for anybody outside of what we're talking about, and at this point, I would say anybody who's not a lock to go like in the top 20 of the draft, you need to seriously be considering staying in college another year, because if you are a great college player, regardless of what your NBA prospects are, you can literally make $3.5, $4, $4.5, $5 million in 1 year of college basketball right now. Think about it. We're talking about playing at most 40 games, and you're playing on national television and sold out arenas. You're probably the best player on your team for $4 million. That is a lot more attractive than being drafted 37th. Sure, getting you a contract, but you're probably splitting time between the NBA and the G League. When you're in the G League, you're on commercial flights, row 34B, connecting in Atlanta, going to a little arena, playing in front of nobody on a streaming service. Or you can play on Big Monday. Or you can play on Big Monday and make more money. So it's drawing people back to college, and it is allowing the NBA to have a more of a developmental process at the college level, and it's allowing college basketball to be better than it's been in a long time. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that four of the best 10 basketball teams of the entire KenPom era, which dates back to the 90s, happened to make the Final Four this season. Why is that? In my opinion, it's because there are more good, experienced players in college basketball right now than there's been in a long time. And we're getting better basketball, period.
Interesting. Well, you didn't help me recover from my PTSD from 6'3 guards, but maybe...
How did he not do
maybe
that?
Maybe I'm on the road. Maybe I'm on the pathway to see the light. I'm not quite there yet, but Gary Parrish has helped me see the light.
Guess who else was a 6'3 combo guard coming out of college?
Ooh. Gary
Jeff
Parrish.
Curry.
Oh,
ooh,
yeah.
That's true. He's pretty good.
Hey, Gary, real quick, before we let you go, we appreciate the time, by the way. Love your work. I think Walter Clayton Jr. could be Jamal Murray. And his measurements kind of came in close, I think, to where Jamal currently is. Your thoughts on him?
He could be Jamal Murray. He could be Shabazz Napier. You know, like, it's hard to know. Here's what I do know. Before that NCAA tournament run, nobody was really talking about Walter Clayton as a first-round prospect. Then he was amazing. And, I use that word intentionally. He was incredible throughout that run and did a lot of stuff that makes you think, man, why won't this work in the NBA? But he is on the smaller side. He doesn't take much of an interest on the defensive end of the court. And you can be the best shot maker and shot creator in the world, but if a coach can't play you because you can't guard your position, it doesn't matter how – you can't shot create from the bench. Mm-hmm. And that would be my concern with him. Is he good enough – he's great at some things. Is he good enough at the other things to get on the court, stay on the court so that he can do those other things? Those are questions, but, you know, this is hard. You know, Sam Presti is widely considered to be the best of the best, and even he misses on guys basically every year. This is among the hardest things to do is identify which prospects are going to work and why. And Walter Clayton Jr. is a great example of that. There are people who would take him in the top 25 and others who would tell you we wouldn't touch him in the top 45.
Well, Dirt, let's get him back on. We trade for Jaren Jackson Jr. and we take him from Memphis.
Wow. Shots fired, man.
Unless you guys want to be the ones to give him $350 million, then maybe you can take him.
Oh, great stuff. Gary Parrish is a CBS Sports college basketball analyst. Of course, Grind City Media in Memphis as well. Gary Parrish, CBS on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for it, man, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Bye-bye. There you go. Gary Parrish from CBS Sports talking some college hoops. Daily Ticket brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries and available now at a store near you. How do you feel about that, PTSD? Let's talk about it next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole. Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Still waiting for my Eastmoreland royalties from that rant that now gets played every day on the show. Still waiting for those.
Yeah, I feel like I hear it every day on the station, yeah.
I mean, it should be something there. I give Gary Parrish a hard time, but I do have PTSD with this position and with this size. And in his latest mock draft, the Portland Trail Blazers 11th overall pick, he has them selecting Jace Richardson from Michigan State. Did you know his dad played in the NBA?
I heard. You I heard got his dad's that? Autograph on a Jordan.
Do you really? Jason Richardson's autograph?
Yeah, I had a...
on a Jordan shoe?
Yeah, I had a pair of shoes, nondescript Jordan shoes, anything famous, just Team Jordan run-of-the-mill shoes, and I had one of them signed by Zach Randolph, and on the other side of the shoe, Jason Richardson, because they were teammates.
That's pretty cool.
Lost a shoe.
Oh.
And it was the year before he won the dunk contest.
Oh. Yeah. Double sting.
Thank you.
That hurts.
It was like a random cool thing that I got as a kid.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that's kind of a Randy Jackson, signing this samurai sword to Jordan, but, I get it,
I don't think that's the same thing at all. If I had Randy Jackson sign, like, a microphone, that would make sense.
Yeah, I guess it would. Jace Richardson, 11th overall. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I think everybody's going to feel how you feel, but, here's a couple things to weigh here. Is it the most exciting pick they could possibly make? No. That seems to be trending towards Carter Bryant or a Cedric Coward.
If he's there at 11. We don't even know if Carter Bryant's going to be there at 11.
We don't, and we keep throwing out the same names, and that's usually what draft season is, and then there's a random name that pops up the week before the draft. What I would say, though, is one, I think he is on to something of growing up around the life, growing up with proper guidance of what it is like to be a professional athlete. And we've talked about this with UConn. I don't know how coming from a Tom Izzo-led program doesn't matter in any way. Mm. Like, that's a dude that, he's won one natty, but he's had so much success that I think you got to take that in. I think that paired with the dad. Look, it's not the only reason you draft people, those reasons, but they are positives that I would take away from having that kind of player. And being 6'3 combo guard, I think what he's right on is the NBA model is you're probably more better served to go 6'6 and up and use the length. I think that's what Joe Cronin and this regime have shown us. But if Jace Richardson can guard two positions, be hyper-athletic kid who's all over the place, I won't completely dismiss the idea of it.
Mm. Yeah, I think my question would be the follow, what are the corresponding roster moves that come with it? That's my first question. If you're going to take another guard, there have to be changes to the roster?
Well, you're not taking him with the idea that this is your future franchise player.
I'm not arguing that you are.
Yeah.
I'm arguing that would you really keep Anfernee Simons, Scoot Henderson, and Shaedon Sharpe and draft another guard with the 11th overall pick?
Would they really do that? I wouldn't put it past them.
Okay. So that's my only question to this.
Is Ant going to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's with the draft.
And having him and having Jace be your backup guard that comes in, doesn't play a ton. You're not expecting big things out of him right out of the gate. But I prefer my rookies to play a little bit, especially when they're drafted in the lottery.
Well, but I don't you've need already 40 been proven by the franchise that that's not a priority one for them.
They started Scoot Henderson in game one.
And then they benched him.
And then they benched him.
And then his minutes went down, and then Shaden started, and they benched him.
Sure, I'm just saying I don't think it makes sense to draft a guy if you're going to keep it. If Anfernee Simons is in your long-term plans, drafting a guard with the 11th overall pick makes no sense.
He's not a very big dude, man. 6'3", 185.
He's very small.
He's not that. He doesn't weigh that much.
He doesn't weigh a ton. He's skinny. He's a little scrawny. Yeah. 6'3", and that's, you know, that's being generous, too. Michigan State fan chiming in saying, I think this time around, because we have the size and length at the two and at the wing and center, Portland can afford to draft an undersized playmaker, not to mention it's Benson Zach Randolph since I've been able to watch a fellow Spartan at the moment.
Can I ask you this? If he became, and I know this is a sore name to bring up given the history of it, but if he became like a Pajemski, Gary Payton II type role guy?
I'd be okay with that at 11 overall. I don't have that high of expectation with the 11th overall pick.
Okay, then I would say then you shouldn't be really bothered by that.
I mean, I am going to choose to be bothered by it because what are the other corresponding moves? Like, this was my thing with Klingon last year. It didn't make sense to me to draft Klingon with the 7th overall pick and then have two other centers still on the roster and play him 11 minutes a night for the first three quarters of the year.
And then also not try to trade the one who clearly is going to get hurt.
That made no sense. Yeah. That made no sense. There's nobody that can excuse that. And that's the way I would feel with this. So if you tell me Anfernee Simons is on the block this summer and you're actually going to make a move there, he's on an expiring deal, you're going to send him to insert whatever team you want to insert here, and that's the trade that you make, I got no problem with you taking a guard with the 11th overall pick. I've heard rumblings they want to re-sign Anfernee Simons. If you're going to re-sign Anfernee Simons,
oh, that's my take.
Still have Scoot, still have Shaden, and then draft another guard, where the hell are his minutes going to come from with the 11th overall pick for an unproven prospect that we have no clue if he's going to turn into something? I'd rather take a position of need. This isn't the best player available thing for me at 11 if you have three other guards still on your roster.
You're selling a franchise. You're trying to make as much money as you can, right? What if I told you the G League team sold a lot of tickets this
season?
Because
Jace Richardson's in town. Because that'll do it. That'll get people to go. You know, his dad was Jason. Is he going to sit courtside? Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. There was a race war in Indiana this weekend. You know that? Pretty wild stuff. Let's talk about it.
God.
Let's start the final hour, though. It's good to be Brock Purdy, man. He gets paid. What do we make of the contract? Let's dive into it next on The Fam.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.